Hallelujah. I'm next in line. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bobby, you did amazing. That was an A-plus announcement today. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. It's not easy to stand up here and make announcements. Amen. So good to see you. Hey, Impact, we're in an exciting Christmas series here that we're calling New Lens, because I believe that Christmas time is a good time to ask God to open our eyes to see things like we've never seen before. Amen. So week one, we talked about the lens of Mary. We talked about surrender. I can look back to the seasons in my life where I made a decision to surrender something, that my life shifted. Life shifted. So I'm praying that that will happen to somebody in this place. The messages are online. Please listen to them. And then last week, we talked about the lens of Joseph, all about trust in God. Amen. Go back and listen to that, please, if you can. Today, we're talking about the lens of the Magi. Can we talk about the Magi today? Amen. And next week, we're going to talk about the lens of heaven. I'm excited about talking about heaven. Somebody say amen. Now, I want you to invite somebody. Impact, I'm going to do what I call a 3 minutes missions trip. Anybody knows about a 3 minutes missions trip here in this place? Amen. How many people don't have Facebook? How many people do not have Facebook? Please keep your hands up. Keep them up. Keep them. Father, forgive them. Amen. Did you know that there's 1.3 billion people in China, 1.2 billion people in India, but there's 1.7 billion people on Facebook? So as the church, we cannot neglect this platform. So here at Impact Church, we do whatever it takes to invite people to church. Amen. So take out your phones. I'm serious about this. Your pastor is serious about getting people to church and getting life saved. I'm going to take out my phone here. If you can just go to our Impact Church Facebook page. There is a Christmas flyer there. And all I want you to do is just share it and just say, come to church with me next week. I'm going to find mine, and I want to invite somebody who does not know Jesus. Here we go. Share. Here we go. Share right now. There we go. Amen. I think 10 people are going to come because of that. We do whatever it takes to reach people with the preaching of the gospel. Amen. That was quick, too. Awesome. I'll give you another moment to finish, and then we're going to talk about the lens of the Magi. The lens of the Magi. So exciting to be in church this morning. Amen. Well, the minute is up. If you're not done, finish it after service, please. Amen. But let's get people to church. We're in the second most unchurched city in all of America. Did you know that? It's why your pastor takes what I'm doing seriously. 4%, only 4% of millennials go to church, which means 8 out of all high school students who go to college will never come back to church after they've gone to college. We have to change that. Amen. And I'm determined to do whatever it takes to change that. The lens of the Magi. Let's read Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1 to 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Excited about this morning. Jesus was born in a town of Bethlehem in the country of Judea. Sorry, Bethlehem. Let me take a moment here and just add a commentary. I've been to Bethlehem twice. I've been to Israel twice, and I've been to Bethlehem twice. This might shock somebody, but when I'm in Israel, I really don't like going to Bethlehem. I don't like it. I know somebody's being let down here a little bit. But that's the truth. And I'll tell you why. There's so much tension in Bethlehem. It scares me. It scares me. There's just so much tension. The tension is real. The air is so different as soon as you go into Bethlehem. It's just so much tension. Last time I was with my wife there. She really wanted to go to Bethlehem. I said, I don't like Bethlehem, but I'll do it for you. Let's go over there. So we got in a cab, and this guy tried to steal from us. And I was in Bethlehem having an argument with a cab driver. That's Bethlehem for you. So I don't let anybody steal from me. But there's so much tension in Bethlehem. And I believe that there's a lot of tension in Bethlehem because Bethlehem is a place of destiny. Bethlehem is a place of the birthing of destiny. I wanted to just add a little commentary there to say, there's somebody in this place who feels like everything about your life, there's been tension. You feel like you have to fight for everything. Things that other people get easily, there's always a fight. You have to put up a fight. You feel like you're always fighting for something in your life. Or there's a child in your home that you feel like there's always a fight around this child. I just want to remind you, that's your Bethlehem. There's destiny there. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading scripture. I just thought I would add that. There's destiny there. You pay attention to that child. They're going to change the world. Hallelujah. I was my father's Bethlehem. I put that dude, man, so much trouble. I remember times he would put water in his mouth and not swallow it because he was scared he was going to curse me. Don't ask me what I did, but man, I did all kinds of stuff. But I felt like that's for somebody in this place. As we're celebrating Christmas and all this, somebody feels like this area of my life, there's always tension. I always have to fight for this. Well, you pay attention to that area because God's going to use that area to birth something big in Jesus' name. And don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Somebody say amen. Amen. It was the time when Herod was king of that part of the country. Now, Bethlehem has tension, but I want you to know that King Herod, Herod the Great, was actually the ruthless king who ever lived. He was ruthless. He was cruel. So Jesus comes in at a time when there's the worst king who ever reigned. That's just crazy. That's for somebody out there right now. The worst seasons in your life, pay attention to those seasons because God is about to birth something in your life in Jesus' name. I just feel like God is encouraging somebody in this place. When the going gets really hard, that's where you keep pressing because something good is about to happen. It's not a coincidence that Herod the Great was king at this time because he was there to block destiny. I'm here to say that your destiny will not be blocked in the name of Jesus. There's no Herod that can block your destiny. There's no hell in earth that can block your destiny in the name of Jesus. And I command every spirit of Herod right now to fall down in the matchless name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. After Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I read through this scripture here? Soon after Jesus was born, some wise men. Somebody say wise men. Some wise men who learned things from stars. Let's stop here. Some wise men who learned things from stars. That word learn, Greek word that forms the word knowledge. They looked for knowledge from stars. They were looking for answers to life's questions from stars. They were looking for purpose in stars. They were looking for satisfaction from stars. And he says, some wise men. I want to stop here and just say, it's interesting they're called wise. I would not call them wise. Let's stop here. Because they were astrologers. They were scientists. They worshiped the stars. They were learning that terminology. They learned from stars. Please don't ever learn anything from a created thing. Please don't put your hope in created things. Let's talk about the word wisdom. The process of wisdom, please write this down. The process of wisdom starts with information. You acquire information, you receive information, which means without information, there's no wisdom. And then after that, there's understanding. After you've gained information, you have to understand the information. Now, after you've understood the information, you have to apply the information that you've understood. So in other words, the definition of wisdom is the ability to apply information. The ability to apply information. The ability to apply information. The ability to solve problems with the information that you have. Just because you have information does not mean you're wise. I know many people who have information. There's a difference, by the way, between intelligence and wisdom. There's a lot of people who are intelligent, but they're not wise. There are a lot of people who are obsessed with information. We live in a generation that is obsessed with information. But not everybody who has information is wise. I tried to watch YouTube to learn how to stop my burner in my basement the other day. I watched that thing 7-10 times. I've just concluded, man, Ego, I'll never fix stuff like you do, brother. Your pastor is just not a handy guy. But just because I had access to YouTube does not mean I'm wise. Come on, somebody. We live in a generation that thinks they are wise because we have YouTube. Please be careful. Don't do everything you see on YouTube. You will get eaten by a shark. It's called, they call them wise men, wise them who learned things from the stars. If you're maybe intelligent, but not wise. Because if you're wise, you will not put your hope in created things, but the creator. Somebody say amen. Please write this down. Anytime you look to a created thing for your survival instead of the creator, you are in danger of major disappointments and committing idolatry. Anytime you look to a created thing for your survival instead of the creator, you are in danger of major disappointments and committing idolatry. The problem with the Magi is they put their hope in a created thing instead of the creator. They learned from stars. Their devotion was in stars. They looked for purpose in stars. They looked to created things to give them solutions instead of looking to God. Somebody look to God this morning in the name of Jesus. There are people who look to resources. They look to material things, or they look to their careers. Or there are people who look to other persons, other human beings. When we're talking about created things, we're talking about people as well. Looking to people. Today I want to give you the secret of happiness. A few things here I want to mention before we move on. Created things change, but God never changes. The reason you can't put your hope on created things is that created things change, but God is the only one who doesn't change. Hallelujah, somebody. The times my wife comes to me and said, I made you the meal you said you loved. I did it again. I hope you enjoy it. And I said, honey, this thing is good, but I don't love it anymore. I used to love it last week. I used to love it in our first year of marriage. Because I had to do that in my first year of marriage. Now I'm 12 years in. I don't like this anymore. The reason created things will disappoint you is that they change. And she does the same to me. Hallelujah. I'm stroking her hair. Honey, I don't like it when you do that. Hey, you used to love this. Yeah, I don't like it anymore. Number two. Created things are limited, but God is not limited. God is unlimited. Created things are limited. I remember growing up, and I'd always ask my parents for something, and I never liked these words. I don't have the money. I don't have the money for it. I don't have the money. I don't. But I saw a stash of money in your bedroom. No, that's for something else. Why? Because created things are limited. If you put your trust in created things, you're going to be disappointed. I want to give you the secret to happiness today. Number three, created things are seasonal, but God is eternal. Created things are seasonal, but God is eternal. Somebody say amen. Which means, Impact Church, your pastor is going to disappoint you at some point. Somebody say, that's good preaching. Impact Church would disappoint you at some point. It means the people in your life, you can expect them to disappoint you. Please turn to the person sitting next to you, the one you love the most, and just tell them, I expect you to disappoint me. Hallelujah. Y'all do it back there too. Now, this time tell them, I expect you to disappoint me, but I've already forgiven you. In Impact, let me say this. You will disappoint somebody else. Hallelujah. Because the last time I checked, you're also a created thing. You will disappoint somebody else. And the reason a lot of people are disappointed is you're expecting something from a man that only God can provide for you. Hey! This is the secret and the recipe to joy and happiness. Somebody say amen. Please write this down. Expecting too much from people is a form of idol worship and a setup for disappointment. Only God is perfect and capable of not letting you down. Only God is perfect and capable of not letting you down. When you expect that somebody's going to let you down, it's easy to forgive them. Matter of fact, you begin to have compassion for your offenders. I've come to a place of joy and happiness because I can pray for somebody who hurt me because I understand that they're not God. I expect that they're going to fail, but I want to pray for them. And I want their soul to be saved. So my days of being upset with people are over. Oh, come on, somebody. Hey. Because I'm not expecting you to do anything. Now, I'm not saying I just lower the standards. Come on, somebody. And not have integrity. If you're a boss, if you're employing people, if they don't show up on time 3 times, fire them. Can I get an amen from somebody? Because you have to raise the standard. But don't be so deeply wounded, so deeply disappointed, so deeply wounded. You've got to expect human beings to be flawed. Somebody say amen. Let's read Romans chapter 3, verse 4, because somebody's like, where are you getting this from? Here we go. Let's get some Bible. It says, let God be found true as he will. I love that. As he will. Though every person be found true. Somebody say, wow. Say it backwards. Now, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but you're sitting next to the liar according to the Bible. It simply means you're sitting next to someone who's very, very flawed. Please have compassion over them. I want to read the same scripture in the message version. Here we go. Not your life. Here we go. Depend on it. God keeps his word even when the whole world is lying through its teeth. Please know that you're sitting next to someone who's flawed and they're going to lie through their teeth. Now, they may not lie in a particular area, but in one other area, they're going to lie. They're going to be flawed. Let's read. I love what King David says. I mean, he's just real. Psalm 146. Verse 1 to 6. Psalm 146. Verse 1 to 6. It says, praise the Lord. Yes, really praise him. That's David. He's like, praise the Lord. And then he stops and says, yes, seriously, really praise him. Please, would you? Because some of y'all say you praise him, you don't praise him. He says, I will praise him as long as I live. Yes, even with my dying prayer, even with my dying breath. It says, don't look to men for help. Don't look to men for help. That word men is not a pronoun for a male person. That word men means humus, which means humans. That includes your daddy, by the way. That includes your mama. That includes your auntie. That includes your kids. That includes the people around you. It says, don't look to them for help. Don't look to them for help. It says, their greatest leaders fail. That's where they're talking about Pastor Zenzo. And it's why people come to churches and they're so deeply wounded because they put pastors on a pedestal. Amen. Hallelujah. Next verse, verse 4, I believe. For every man must die. His breathing stops, life ends. That's why I told you men are seasonal. And in a moment, all he planned for himself is ended. But happy, somebody say happy. How many people want to be happy this Christmas? This is the secret. This is the secret. Happy is the man who has the God of Jacob as his helper, whose hope is the Lord, his God. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm only looking for God to help me, not you. I'll take your help, but I don't expect it. Hallelujah. I'll never forget, you know, as a young boy, married to my lovely wife. When I met my wife, she was the most gorgeous angel I'd ever seen. I was like, man, she's perfect. Everything about her, perfect. We got married one morning. She said, honey, how you doing? And her face was really close to me. And I thought I smelled something because she's Italian and she eats that Italian food. I was disappointed. I said, oh, my God, the perfect girl has breath that stinks. She's human. We're so deeply wounded because we're expecting too much from people. Come on, somebody. And then he says this. Oh, I love my wife. I just talked about her breath and she says, so good. The God who made both earth and heaven, the seas and everything in them, he is the God who keeps every promise. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, God, for keeping promises. I honor you and I bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel something here. Do I have a musician? I feel something here. I feel something here. I feel something here. I feel something here. If you're here and there's a family issue, please stand real quick. Please don't hesitate. Wherever you're sitting, just stand. There's family issues, forgiveness that needs to be released. Just stand, just stand, just stand, just stand, just stand. Don't be ashamed. Look at how many people are standing. Look at how many people are standing. Somebody has let you down in your family. Somebody has let, there's pain, there's pain. Hallelujah. Lift up that strings, Linton, all the way. Hallelujah. If you're sitting next to them, lay your hands on them. Just lay your hands on them. Lay your hands on them. I pray for grace to release those people who are flawed. I pray for grace to forgive them in the name of Jesus. I pray for the grace to release them because they are flawed and they are human. I pray for grace to forgive them and entrust them with God. I pray for grace to release them. Pray for grace to forgive them. Pray for grace to release them. I pray for grace to give them to God. And I release healing now in the name of Jesus. They don't owe you anything. Yes, 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 yes. They don't owe you anything. We give them to Jesus now in the name of Jesus. You're free, you're free, you're free, you're free. You're free, you're free, you're free, you're free. In the name of Jesus, you're free, you're free, you're free. You're free in the name of Jesus. I forgive my father, I forgive my mother, I forgive Grammy, I forgive my auntie, I forgive my daddy, I forgive my ex-husband, my ex-wife, I forgive them in Jesus' name, I pray. Somebody say amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together. I feel something in this place. I feel a deliverance in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Linton, for jumping. Linton, you can go back. I'm going to help you rest today. I'm going to help you rest today. Hallelujah. Would you give God praise for that breakthrough in Jesus' name? I felt. Hallelujah. Please write this down. The root cause of bitterness is expecting things from people that only God has the power to provide. That's the root cause of bitterness. That person you just released today, they're flawed. They're broken themselves. Pray for them. Ask God to touch them. They're flawed. They're broken. Probably somebody else hurt them. There's things that are happening. The root cause of bitterness is expecting too much from them. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So here's a question. We're talking about the lens of the Magi. They look to stars. They look to created things for things that only God the Creator is supposed to provide. So my question to you is, what's your idol? Yeah. What's your idol this Christmas? What's the thing you have to destroy? What is the created thing that you've been expecting so much from and they keep failing you that you have to release them? What is your idol? Hallelujah. Please make note of that. Now, let's go back to that scripture, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 2, our main scripture. And I want to read verse 2, and in the next few minutes, verse 2, there we go. In the next few minutes, I want to give you three things. This verse here, this one verse here is power-packed with three principles that the Magi used in order to break their false traditions. This was their false traditions. They learned from stars. They looked to stars. But here's what they did. Number one, they asked, where's the king of the Jews who has been born? Where's the king? Where's the king? Somebody say questions. Number one, questions. Somebody say questions. The first thing you need to do is you need to ask a question. If you're going to break false traditions, you need to ask questions. And then the next thing that happens here says, we have seen his star. The second thing that needs to happen is you need to see something you've never seen before. And then the third thing is, we have come to worship him. You need to give your devotion to whatever God is showing you in this season 100%. Now, can we take it one at a time? Amen. Here we go. Number one, if you're going to break false traditions, here we go. You can never break your false traditions until you're willing to ask questions you've never asked before. You can never break your false traditions until you're willing to ask questions you've never asked before. Here's the Magi. They're worshiping stars. They're following stars. They've been chasing stars their whole life. But on this particular day, they ask the right question. They say, where is the newborn king who has been born? In other words, we're no longer looking for created things. Where is the creator? The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was there in the beginning. And on this day, instead of looking for stars, instead of looking for created things, their question was, where is the creator? Where is he? If you're going to break false traditions, you have to be willing to ask questions that others are not willing to ask. You have to be willing to ask questions that you've never asked before. Questions reveal your frustrations, and your frustrations motivate you to bring change. You will never change what you tolerate. Could it be the reason you're still stuck in the same thing you've been doing for a long time is that you're not asking the right questions? Steve Jobs asked the question, why is it that we don't have computers in every American household? Based on that question, he created a company that is alive even when he's dead. Henry Ford asked the same question, how come we don't have cars in every American household? And out of that question, a business was born. Come on, somebody. He sent him to his brothers to deliver lunch. When he showed up there was a man called Goliath who was ridiculing the God of Israel. And David asked the question, who is that uncircumcised Philistine? He asked another question, what's going to happen to the person who kills him? And his brothers began to say, you stop speaking. You stop asking questions. Please don't ever let anybody stop you from asking questions. Because your questions are prophetic. Your questions reveal the very thing you were born to fix. If you fear to ask the question, you fear to solve the problem. You've got to ask the question, why doesn't this exist? Why doesn't that exist? That's where your destiny is. They ask the question, where is the newborn king? And you've got to remember this. Herod was the king at the time. They bypassed Herod. They said, no, you're not the real king. We're looking for the real king. Where is he? Somebody said questions. This Christmas, it's a good time to begin to ask yourself questions. Why am I unhappy? Can we be real in this place? Some of you have to ask yourself this question. Why am I overweight? Let me get a good amen here. Until you ask that question, you're going to be that weight for the rest of your life. It's until you ask the uncomfortable questions, by the way. Questions are uncomfortable. Why is my marriage this way? It's a question I asked years ago when I was struggling. When I was running down the street and my wife was chasing me down with pots and pans. I said, why am I running today? What do I need to fix? And that question brought me to a marriage counselor. Now my marriage is healthy. Come on, somebody. Questions. What question do you have to ask today? Because you will not break that false tradition unless you ask questions. Somebody say amen. I was hanging out with my spiritual father for 2 days. And I was on my phone and sitting next to him, Bob Weiner. And he said to me, son, do you ever put that thing down? I felt offended. And I became defensive. Pay attention to the questions that make you defensive. Yeah. It's the stuff you have to fix. I said, no. I read my Bible on my phone. I pay my bills on my phone. I do everything on my phone. And he didn't say anything. He just looked away. And I went home. I said, God, please set me free from the demon of iPhone. Somebody said questions. Number two, the second thing that happened, they said, we have seen his star. We have seen his star. Please write this down. You can never break false traditions until your eyes are open to something you've never seen before. They say, we have seen his star. Now, let me ask you a question. Who created the stars? They said, we have seen what? His star. Whose star? But who created the stars? How come they were looking at stars for their entire lifetime? It never dawned on him that those are God's stars. They're looking at the same thing they've been looking for the rest of their life. They say, we've seen his star. No. That's been his star this whole time. But your eyes have been opened to something that you've been seeing this whole time. And so there's revelation. So now you can change something because the scales have been removed from your eyes. Come on, lift up your hands. I pray in the name of Jesus that God would open your eyes to see things like you've never seen before. In the name of Jesus. Some of you are sitting on millions right now. Hallelujah. Moses had a stick. How much money does it cost to buy a stick? Nothing. And he's walking with his stick, but he had no idea that the stick he had the power to part the seas. Come on, somebody. He had no idea that the stick he had could turn into a snake and swallow all the other snakes. In the name of Jesus, I pray that God would open your eyes to see that the little thing you have that you think is insignificant has the power to deliver in the name of Jesus. God, open our eyes this Christmas. In Jesus' name, I pray. Open our eyes, I pray. They said, we have seen his star. Not the whole time they were looking, but they had never seen before. Paul was persecuting the saints. One day Jesus shows up and he says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? The scales dropped. Paul was persecuting the very thing that was meant to bless him until scales were removed in Jesus' name. I pray that God would open your eyes to see. Somebody say amen and amen. Here's my final point. You can never break your false traditions until you are willing to devote yourself to something like you've never done before. You can take this to the bank. You will never break false traditions until you're willing to devote yourself to something like you've never done before. They built a living, they built a lifestyle from worshiping stars. And now they end up at worshiping the Creator. They find the Creator. And the Bible says they bow down and they worship. They give their devotion to created things. They gave their devotion to stars, but at this moment, they give their entire devotion to King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Jesus' name. Impact, I want to say this to some of you. Some of you, some of the things that you're going to do in this season to find that freedom and deliverance that God wants you to have is that for once, you're going to give yourself to something holy and completely. Let me announce this. Those days of having one leg in something, one leg out are over. In Jesus' name. Come on. It's time to give yourself wholly. It's time to give yourself fully. Give yourself to the kingdom of God. If God has given you that business, placed you in that company, given you that spouse, it's time for you to give yourself fully. Hallelujah. An impact church. I hope somebody puts their hands together and get crazy when I say this. I believe it's time for some of us to give ourselves fully to the ministry of God that He's doing here at Impact Church. There's a reason why He's planted you here. These are not the days to have one leg in, one leg out. Come on. It's time to begin to serve in the kingdom of God. It's time to begin to give yourself fully. Yes, I know you were hurt at your previous church, but God is doing a new thing in this place in the name of Jesus. Please stand if you can. Please stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we worship you. We give you praise. Come on, if you can lift up your hands, just begin to give him, give yourself to him. Begin to give yourself to him. Hallelujah. Some of you begin to see something new. I pray that your eyes are open. Scales be removed in Jesus' name. Begin to see something you've never seen before in the name of Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. God did a work in this place. Some of you forgave some people in this place today. I want you, when you go home, call them and just say, I forgive you. Doesn't mean you have to be friends with them now. That's your choice, but just tell them, I forgive you. Father, we worship you. Every eye closed, every head bowed down. If you're here, you don't know Jesus. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. I want you to throw your hand and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hands, hands, hands. Thank you for that hand. 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 Impact. Let's pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender and I confess my mouth. Jesus Christ, you're the Lord and Savior of my life. Come on, let's celebrate. You're born again. Hallelujah. Impact. Invite somebody. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Impact, this service is over. Allow me to take 1 minute to share something I completely forgot. We are in growth campaign. Come on, year-end giving. Amen. Yet again, we're giving above our tithes. If you're a visitor, please, this is not for you. But if you've been here for a long time, this year we're believing God for $30,000. How many people know that's nothing in the presence of God? Amen. Believing God for 30 people giving 1,000, 60 people giving 500, or 300 people giving 100, whatever, and in between. It's not about the amount, it's about equal sacrifice. Amen. Whatever the Lord speaks to you, in Jesus' name, we bless you. We love you. God bless you.
Change up, yeah, I just wanna fan your flame. What is the young Picasso and the God that